You ever have something that you need to get done, but you just don't feel like doing it? Today's one of those days for me. I just don't really feel like doing this show. But I'm going to do it anyway. Bad Money Machine. Show 63. Smack dab in the middle of May. Yeah, I thought about, maybe I'll skip a week in doing this show, but you know, there's a bunch of stuff that I really want to get to, so I'm going to get to it. This is Paul Douglas Boyer, and you're listening to the Mad Money Machine. And I hope that saying that I'm lazy doesn't reflect poorly on my sponsor, Index Funds Advisors, because they're not lazy, they work hard for you. Go check them out at IFA.com. So CBS buys Wall Strip, the popular video blog, for $5 million, according to some news items I've seen in Google search, and first saw it in TechCrunch, I believe. It says the Wall Street web video program featuring Lindsay Campbell trying to make the NASDAQ hilarious is being snapped up by CBS News, we're told, for something in the $5 million range. Well, if they do a daily show and I do a weekly show, and they do a video blog and I do an audio blog, let's say, okay, so they do five a week, I do one a week, that knocks me down to $1 million. And if there's video and mine's audio, let's knock it in a third. That makes my show worth $300,000, don't you think? Well, on the last show, I really pushed the phone number and I got some calls.
A big honking Aussie bonsai to you, Paulie. I don't know what it is, but this number keeps floating around my head. It came to me just after your last podcast. I'm wondering if you can shed some light on it. 206. 734-47-63. I don't know what it is, buddy, but I think this has been subliminally transmitted to me via the podcast waves. Lots of laughs. Bonza show and great charting tool. Keep it up. Talk to you later, buddy.
Did he say 206-734-47-63? Here's another caller.
Hi, Paul. This is Brian from Chicago calling again. I definitely owe you a phone call, and I apologize for being late for not once but twice putting my voicemail out on your podcast. Thanks a lot. It was fun to hear. I do appreciate you taking the time to find that XIRR function in Excel, too, because, man, I've been looking forever for something like that. So thanks for doing that. Really enjoy the show. Keep up the good work. And we'll talk to you later.
Thanks for calling, Brian. Keep the calls coming in. You might not want to do it, but go ahead and do it anyway. On the last show, I asked if you had any stories about price gouging. And I got, how many callers do you think I got? 100? 50? 25? 10? 5? I got one. Yeah, here it is.
Hey, Paul, this is David over at the Fast Money Machine. Just wanted to let you know I was listening to your podcast this evening, and my price gouging experience recently has been the air conditioner unit went out in our house, and all it did was blow a fuse. And unfortunately, the fuse was not easy to locate for myself to find it. And all it was a little $3 fuse that you could buy a 10-pack for at Home Depot. And they charged me $85 for the part and $75 labor for a person who was there all of 90 seconds to replace that fuse. I complained, and I got $50 off my bill. However, that's still quite a markup for a 10-pack for $3 for a $30 fuse. So that's my experience. Enjoy your podcast, and my recommendation would be that you go with the Paul Douglas Boyer Machine as your URL, and enjoy your podcast. Keep up the good work. And again, this is David over at the Fast Money Machine. Have a good night.
Thanks for calling in, David. I guess you got to pay them for their time, and you got to pay them for their gas and their mileage and all that sort of stuff, but that does seem a little bit steep. My price gouging story, I think, is along a similar lines. I had our driveway sealed, you know, where they come out. It's a black top driveway. They come out and spray it with some black looking stuff. I think they charged me $80, and they were there, no lie, 7 minutes. And if I multiply this out, I take 60 minutes in an hour divided by the 7 minutes they were here, and multiply that by the $80, that works out to be $685 an hour for getting my driveway sealed. That's pretty good. So David, have I talked you into indexing yet? You might not want to do it, but go ahead and do it anyway. Let's take another caller.
Hey, Paul, this is Curtis, a.k.a. True Ohio Player, on the forums. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I just wanted to say, definitely keep up the good work with the show. Love it. I wanted to know if anybody else had the guts or anything to respond back to my question on the forums about if you're already invested in an index fund. But, you know, maybe the expense ratio is 2 to 6 times higher than the low-cost index fund. Does it make more sense to just realize your mistake and just buy into the new stuff, buy into the VTIs, buy into the, you know, the an SPY or VB, something like that, instead of cashing out of your higher expense index fund and then buying back into the other one? So you have to deal with the capital gains and all that stuff. But it's been up there for a couple of days, and all I've got is one reply of a note, not sure. So if anybody has the guts, please respond back. Let me know what's going on. All right. Love the show. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Curtis, a.k.a. True Ohio Player, thanks so much for calling in. And I do encourage my listeners to go out to the forum, which is a little harder to get to now, at the madmoneymachine.com. Along the right-hand side, you'll see a link to the forum. In the general discussion area, you've posted the question about this. And you know what? I have to be honest. My forum is probably not the best place to get the answer to this question. And I will direct you to another place. And if you ask that exact same question over at diehards.org/forums, you're going to get probably 20 answers. They are vigilant over there and determined, and they are really looking out to help people. I would recommend taking your posting just verbatim, including the reply to my reply perhaps, and posting it over there, and I think it'll be an interesting discussion. You might not want to do it, but go ahead and do it anyway. How about one more caller?
Hello, Paul. My name is Keith Rojek. I've been a listener for quite a while, probably since your first show or so, and I've enjoyed them tremendously. I think that you're doing a great service for a lot of people by telling them the benefits of indexing and passive investing. I think you hit points right on the head. One thing, though, that did strike me in listening to your last show, and I thought might be a good idea for you, is your tagline of "it takes money to make money." And I thought that maybe you would explore a little more the technique of getting money so that you can invest it. You know, maybe you have some tips on saving, some tips on ways to do things at a much less cost. Kind of a consumerism type thing to save some more of your money so that you can invest it, so that we can all have that financial freedom that your show talks about. Again, keep up the good work. I really do appreciate it. I think that some of the people that you have are truly amazing as far as Mark Hebner and discussing some of the merits with Burton Keel and John Bogle and those gentlemen. I appreciate your hard work. Keep it up. Thanks.
Yeah, well, it isn't hard work today, is it? It's hardly working. But I do appreciate your call. Thanks very much. And, you know, I think your point is a good one. Every time I say it takes money to make money, I think about, well, what if somebody doesn't have money? And I realize that there are people struggling out there just to make ends meet. And, of course, I realize there are people out there who aren't interested in financial planning, even though they desperately need a financial plan for their lives. The answer is, of course, save and invest. More and more of us are required to become financial planners for ourselves. No more pensions to take care of us in our financial freedom. Social Security, of course, won't do it. How do we do it then? One of the big components is saving is deferred gratification. Investing can be compared to dieting. In dieting, what's the secret to losing weight or maintaining your weight? Eat less and exercise. Save and invest. How do you get better at golf? Practice your putting. Like the old saying, drive for show, putt for dough. It's the short game that makes up the strokes. In investing, it's the same thing. It's the short game that makes you money. Getting rid of a lot of expenses by using tax-efficient, low-cost index funds. There is a long road to financial freedom. It's a curvy, bumpy road, and the first half of it is mostly uphill. But when you reach the crest of the hill, you can see a beautiful place laid out in front of you called financial freedom. Every nickel you spend before you get to the crest of the hill slows down your journey. If you delay the gratification, if you delay spending money until you get to the crest of the hill, you will get there faster. And it's all downhill from there. So plan your journey, make a budget, invest in index funds, play with some retirement calculators that are online to estimate your financial freedom date, and work as hard as you can to get there as fast as you can. Don't believe in the concept of delayed gratification for yourself? Pick up a copy of the book, The Millionaire Next Door. Go to your library and get it if you have to. Yeah, in fact, go to your library and get it. That'll save you $20 or so. Then take the $20 and invest it. I believe everyone who sets out on the journey for financial freedom can get there. And I believe that those who are determined to reach the crest of the hill faster can do so. Planning for your financial freedom might not be something you want to do, but you got to do it anyway. Well, you know that IFA has done a podcast about the 12 steps, and I'd like to play for you in the fifth month of the year, the fifth step, manager pickers. Step 5, manager pickers. Realize that the winning managers were just lucky. The S&P 500 index consistently outperformed 98% of mutual fund managers over 3 years and 97% over 10 years ending October 2004. In two 30-year studies, the S&P 500 index outperformed 97% and 94% of managers. In addition, only about 12% of the top 100 of managers repeat their performance in the following years. Therefore, it's not possible to consistently pick next year's hot mutual fund manager. Index portfolios consistently capture the risk and the return of markets, which in high-risk index portfolios has been 14% annualized for the past 50 years, compared to 11% for the S&P 500. To make sense of all this, we have Mark Hebner, the author of the book Index Funds. So, Mark, managers are not as consistent as the market. If that's the case, how does that translate to the idea of manager picking, and what's the impact for investors?
This is a tough one. after going through the first few steps, people are left a little confounded. They say, well, I guess I can't pick stocks. I can't pick the times to be in and out of the market. And so then they want to find somebody else to do that. As we like to say in the passive management business, everybody wants to believe in Santa Claus. Someone's going to bring them some big presents here. It turns out it's just not the case. The record is just dismal for these active managers. When we look at the top 100 managers each year, so many investors think that's where they should be going to find this smart individual who really knew what was going on in the market. The sad thing for investors is they end up discovering that they were wrong, in essence, with only 12% of the top 100 managers repeating their performance in the subsequent year. It's rare that investors are going to be happy with this investment choice. And that's what we find. If you look at in page 96 of my book, there are some pretty amazing graphs and charts in here, and I didn't originate the idea of doing these, but we did update them. What they in essence show is the pattern of five-year returns for investment managers, and we looked at almost 800 of them over a five-year period. And if you rank these managers over this five-year period, and on the left side you have all the managers who did really well, and on the right side you have all the managers who didn't do so well, you end up with this nice little graph that looks a little bit like a bow tie. The real question that investors need to ask themselves, though, is their persistence in these managers' performance. So to test that, we kept those managers in the same rankings, and then we looked how they performed over the subsequent five-year period. And if, in fact, skill persists, we should have the same pattern, the same bow tie shape pattern of their returns. Turns out that in the second period, you just get what's called random noise. There is no pattern at all. The smart and the not so smart completely disappear from your graph, and you just get randomness among managers' performance. And that's what we've now come to expect by looking at this past data. In other words, a good track record of a manager in even a five-year period, which seems like it's a long time, has zero value in helping you select a manager to capture returns for you in the future.
So with that in mind, is there nothing to be said for a manager's past performance of a positive string of yearly returns?
Well, let's look at a couple specific records. We've done an interesting little charting in our book where we take the top 10 managers each year, and then we track to see how their rankings are in the future periods. And if you go back to 2003, you see that the Apex Mid-Cap Growth Fund was the number one rated fund back in 2003, and that's out of 5,746 mutual funds. So you would think that this individual is doing a really good job, and you'd expect that next year they would continue to do that good job. In the following year, 2004, out of 6,046 mutual funds, this number one rated manager from 03 ends up ranking 5,989. So he went from being the number one star manager to literally the absolute bottom of the pack. This story plays out year after year, where we see these top 10 managers literally dropping to the very bottoms of the ranking within a maximum of 3 years, but usually it occurs right in the subsequent year. So there really is no value to their track record. It's just randomness, just like the stocks and the times. The managers fall into the same pattern. It's basically a bell-shaped curve of random stock-picking events.
So if a manager's past performance is not indicative of future results, and the ratings play into the idea of manager picking, what is a better strategy for approaching mutual funds, or do you just advise against them altogether?
Well, first of all, the mutual fund is a wonderful vehicle for investors. But there are two kinds of mutual funds. You have mutual funds that are actively managed, for which we've designed this recovery program. And there are mutual funds that are passively managed, otherwise known as index funds. So it's not the mutual fund that's the problem. It's the investment strategy used to manage the mutual fund. So let's just kind of look at some of the differences and try to explain why you'd be better off just buying a passively managed fund. When we look at the records of these managers over the past, basically it's falling stars from the sky. They're star managers at one time, and when you look again, they have fallen to the ground and they're no longer stars. And why does this occur? Well, in essence, it's occurring because their stardom is really just a matter of pure chance or pure luck. Literally, chimpanzees throwing darts at the Wall Street Journal to end up with a winning performance.
So that guy that was the top performer the one year and then the bottom performer the next year, what happened to his skill from year to year?
Turns out it's got nothing to do with his skill. It just has to do with the asset class or the index that he's exposed his investors to. And this randomness of these asset classes is uncontrollable by investors. So the best way for you to capture the returns of the market is to own all the asset classes in different proportions. And that way you're already invested ahead of the little bull market within that asset class. So to get back to the question, we like to have mutual funds, but we don't like to have a manager stock picking within the mutual fund or actively managing it. You're far better off just to buy a passively managed mutual fund and capture the market rates of return that that asset class earned that year.
Thanks, Mark. That wraps it up for Step 5, Manager Pickers. For more information about Step 5 and all the other steps in the 12-step program, go to ifa.com. You might not want to do it, but go ahead and do it anyway. Well, I wasn't going to do a tool in the crib on this show, but I'll do one anyway. Looking for a great stock charting tool? I think one of the best ones out there, if not the best one, can be found at stockcharts.com. You'd think by the name that they'd be all about stock charts, right? Well, they are. And you can do all kinds of things with stock charts. You can do comparisons. You can look way back in history on a number of indexes. Their Sharp Charts tool is really awesome. And the options that are available to you are completely overwhelming. But it's fun playing with it. And like all the other tools I've given you so far, it is free. And I wasn't going to check in on the Portfolio Smackdown game this week, but I will anyway. As of last Friday, which was May the 11th, the average of all of the 23 stock pickers trying to pick stocks according to Cramer's recommendations out at the virtual stock exchange at MarketWatch is up 2.4% for 2007. But the Index Folio 100 from Index Funds Advisors, IFA.com, is up 8.86% year-to-date. Alan Pendleton still leads the pack with 16.27%. Alan, we got to know your secrets. Everybody else is lagging the Index Folio 100. Where would you put your money for the long term? With Alan Pendleton or with the Index Folio 100? I welcome your feedback to me and this show. You can call it into the voicemail line, 206-734-4763. You can email me at feedback@madmoneymachine.com. You can comment out at the website, madmoneymachine.com. Or you can just simply enter a blog entry on your own blog mentioning madmoneymachine.com or Paul Douglas Boyer, and Google Alerts will find it for me. I'll read you one more item of feedback and then let you go. This is a comment posted out at the website. Author Pug says, "Hey, Paul, you're right on the money about Robert Kiyosaki. The guy's either totally clueless or simply a scam artist trying to provoke additional sales of his poorly written books. Instead of wasting time with Rich Dad, Poor Dad, I would recommend The Millionaire Next Door as a much better read. How about adding Stanley/Danko to Guru Roulette? After all, to be a successful passive investor, you have to avoid wasting your hard-earned cash in the first place. Keep it authentic. Thanks, Pug, for taking the time to make a posting. Thank everyone for taking the time to make a call. Thank those of you who have sent me some emails. When the show really stops getting fun, well, I'll stop doing it. But next week, you can believe that I'll be jazzed up and excited to do another show for you. Until then, this has been Paul Douglas Boyer, saying it takes money to make money, and it takes, even though you don't feel like doing something, to go ahead and do it anyway to make a mad money machine. Please visit our sponsor, Index Funds Advisors, at IFA.com, and I will see you next week.